Good morning and welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. I'm Jeff Snyder and this is BRN AM for Wednesday, November 11th, 2020. And here are our top stories. Shoring up shortfalls, women, retirement savings, and the gig economy. Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is Caroline Bruckner. She's Managing Director of the COGOD Tax Policy Center. Caroline, thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, look, the excitement is all in myself and the audience. We are excited because this is a topic that we have spoken about numerous times on the show, and you have done a tremendous amount of research on shortfalls in retirement savings and the savings gap for women, especially in this gig economy. So let's kick it off. What can you tell us? I want to have a great conversation here about this.
Well, so let's level set for a minute. And whenever we talk about the gig economy, it's always important to understand exactly what we're talking about. In recent years, there's been a tremendous amount of research done on gig economy workers, Uber drivers, Airbnb hosts, Etsy shop owners, folks that were buying and selling services online, coordinated by large platforms that would both connect service providers and sellers with customers and also process payment. And that has really captured a lot of the research space. Is this going to displace traditional employment? What does this mean for our labor economy? And there's been just a tremendous amount of work done on online gig workers. But people have always hired babysitters, caregivers, and workers through their existing neighborhood and offline networks and paid them, you know, cash or under the table, what have you. And so when we started this project, we designed it to consider the retirement implications of gig workers, both those using existing platforms, as well as the larger and actually greater percentage of gig workers that do that work and connect with customers offline. So we are looking at this kind of occasional work that occurs. And this is separate and distinct from people that do independent contract work from as a their sole source of income. Because the data shows, and what we know, is that the majority of folks that do gig work do it as a supplemental source of income, not their main source of income.
Yeah, and that's really important to know. And we've seen a transition, Caroline, where more and more people, I know you're gonna get into some of the differences between length of time that men and women work and other aspects of that. But we have really seen in this economy, given the pandemic, giving layoffs, people really, not just women, but many working multiple jobs. And it's not something that happened even pre-COVID, pre-pandemic, people were doing multiple jobs. They might be doing part-time work over here. They might be doing part-time work over there, starting their own business. So this is, I guess, not the exception. This is now becoming the rule.
It is 100% how people work today. And if you just think about it in your own life, I'm a lawyer and I can rattle off, you know, immediately 10 to 12 of my law school classmates and lawyers in my network that not only do law work full time, but also have some other side gig, right? The side gig, that gig work has become more commonplace. And what research has focused on is just the Uber drivers, the Etsy shop owners, the really high profile platforms that have coordinated this kind of work and brought it online without acknowledging that this work has become more commonplace and in fact, even more popular offline. And that happens, and we really saw a massive uptick from about 2000 until the present, because there has been a tremendous growth in the economy and wages have stagnated and people are doing additional jobs to supplement their income. And they're not just doing it using platforms, they're doing it offline. And the tax data bears that out.
So when we, you know, one of the things that I'm thinking about as a person who's been in the retirement space and handled you know, planning for large retirement plans is when you work multiple jobs, you effectively may be part-time work, right? So you may not have employee benefits, things like health benefits, or in what we're talking about in terms of the long term, you may not have retirement benefits like an employee sponsored retirement plan. You may only have access to a IRA or a bank account.
So that is certainly true, and it's actually uniquely true for women. What we found in the tax data is that women are actually driving the growth of this occasional gig work or using gig work as a supplemental source of income. And women are, the data is very clear, all the BLS labor data, women have always worked part-time and done more part-time work than men. And so it actually makes sense that women doing gig work would be doing it in greater numbers because of needs for flexibility or care in balancing caregiving responsibilities, what have you. But when you consider that in view of retirement financing options available to these kinds of workers, you see that women doing part-time work or women doing gig work aren't going to have the same access to traditional retirement plans from the firms that they work with. And they might not necessarily, particularly in the gig work space, be employees in any event. They're independent contractors. So then you really have to think about, when you're thinking about these workers, well, what is their primary retirement financing mechanism? And that's through the tax code. That's your self-employment tax. And that's where things really get interesting.
So we don't have, these individuals do not have, they may or may not be, well, let me break it down. Let me ask you this. What does this mean in terms of Social Security? Because that is part of that three-legged stool. So I mentioned a little bit about retirement savings plans, IRAs, your bank account. But if you're an independent worker, a gig worker, so to speak, do you participate in Social Security or can you miss out on Social Security?
So this is really the heart of what our research shows and how it disproportionately impacts gig workers. Because the way that these workers are forced to save for retirement is through payment of self-employment tax. Those payroll taxes that employees pay, the percentage that employees and then their employers match and pay into Social Security through payroll taxes, well, a gig worker or independent contractor, someone who's not subject to employee withholding, is responsible for reporting all of their earnings that are not subject to withholding and paying the total 15.3% self-employment tax. And the reality is that because we have very loose information reporting rules, it actually exacerbates underreporting of these workers in many cases. And the data that we have on these gig workers in terms of how much they earn and how much they work, in many instances, they don't even realize that they're responsible for paying self-employment tax, and then they don't get a 1099, so they don't pay it. This is absolutely critical because this is, in fact, for many of these workers, the only source of retirement income financing that they're eligible for in periods when the only work they do is gig work.
I want to get to, in a couple of minutes in our next segment, I want to get to maybe some ideas to shore it up. But Caroline, it sounds like there's some educational opportunities here. Look, we want people to be, I love the fact when people can be entrepreneurs and start their own businesses and do things that they like to do and kind of cross-pollinate. But it just sounds like, just based on your comment and what my understanding is, that there's an area here that really needs to be a group of people that needs to be educated on what you need to do from a tax perspective to make sure that you don't hurt yourself 20, 30 years down the road.
100%. There's an education piece that's really important. I actually did survey data on a population of experienced self-employed workers. I partnered with the National Association of Self-Employed back in 2016, did a survey of their members. And these are experienced small business, independent contractors. These are experienced taxpayers that didn't and weren't aware of what their taxpaying responsibilities were. So certainly there's an education piece. There is an even larger piece, however, which is looking at the information reporting rules and what we task payers to these kinds of workers to report to both the workers and the IRS. And those rules are absolutely out of sync and do not reflect properly income thresholds that trigger appropriate 1099 reporting for both the IRS and these workers. So even if you were to educate these people, the tax data shows that if they don't get a 1099, they don't even realize they have to report this income.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of work to be done on the tax code side and also as well the education front. Caroline, I want to go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about shoring up some of those shortfalls. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're gonna change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
Hi folks, Joe Namath here, and if you're on Medicare, this is important. You're now entitled to eliminate copays and get dental care, dentures, eyeglasses, prescription coverage, in-home aids, unlimited transportation, and home-delivered meals, all at no additional cost. Plus, your zip code may have coverage with the Give Back benefit that adds money back to your Social Security check every month. Look, with the uncertainty of the virus and vaccines, you need to get everything you're entitled to. Here's the bottom line. Call to get significant benefits at no additional cost and see if your zip code has coverage with the Give Back benefit. Millions of people have trusted the Medicare Coverage Helpline. You can too. Call now. It's free.
Call 1-800-924-3920. That's 1-800-924-3920.
Welcome back. We're talking to Caroline Bruckner. She's Managing Director of the COGOD Tax Policy Center. Caroline, thanks so much for staying with us this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
This is a really important issue. And as we went to commercial break, We talked about maybe some outdated processes in terms of tax reporting, but I want to come to you and maybe devote some of this segment to those listening. What are things that we need to possibly be doing to kind of sync back up the gig economy with our tax structure and what people should be doing to make sure that they have, you know, this retirement savings in the future?
Well, so there are a couple things that we should do. It's never good to put out a massive research report that calls for more research, but that's exactly what I did. We just have to do more research on who is contributing to the self-employment tax gap that the IRS has identified in their own data. That's about $45 billion that goes unpaid and underreported by taxpayers. And we need to know, is that $45 billion just, you know, really wealthy doctors and dentists and established independent contractors that aren't paying their self-employment tax? Or is it millions and millions of gig workers that aren't getting information reporting forms? And we need to know that information because we primarily address so much of our retirement system through the tax code. And so we have to have good data to inform us on policy changes that are needed to kind of remedy this self-employment tax financing gap that we've identified with gig workers. And this is really important when it comes to women, because our research was particularly focused on women who, as you know, have a tendency to live longer, have higher healthcare costs, and actually face a pretty significant retirement income wealth gap that is, you know, the result of decades of taking time out of the workforce, gender pay gap issues, and a whole host of challenges that women have, even preparing for retirement on the front end, and then get faced with a retirement wealth gap on the back end. Now, when we know that women are more likely, and the tax data shows that women are in fact driving gig work growth overall, we really need to think about this in terms of what it means for retirement income and what the data tells us about how they are or are not paying into self-employment tax.
Caroline, is it your sense, you know, we just had Chairman Neal Ranking Representative Brady put out Secure 2.0. So that kind of builds on what happened last fall, almost a year ago now, kind of focused on retirement coverage. But is it your sense that members of Congress, the people who actually write the tax code, the Internal Revenue Service, that these folks are aware of this and the need to move things along? I mean, do you see that there potentially could be additional legislation, things to address the gig economy in more broad terms?
So I think from a political perspective, a lot of the gig economy debate gets bogged down with questions about employee classification and misclassification issues. And as a tax nerd, I recognize the importance of those issues, but I'm really concerned about people's retirement security. And I don't think that we have a reason to keep companies from giving 1099s to workers who are earning money on their platform, so they're prompted to pay in to their self-employment tax on the front end now. And it makes a lot of sense to proceed with strategies to allow for more information reporting so people know what taxes they owe, even though it could take years to resolve some of those employee misclassification issues. I mean, just with the November election, we saw California rejected an opportunity to have Uber drivers and Lyft drivers treated as employees. Proposition 22 passed, and you know, California voters said very clearly, these are independent contractors. Great, if that's the case, let's go ahead and get them 1099 so they're paying into Social Security, because they're not gonna be subject to employee withholding.
Yeah, it just feels like, you know, from the outside looking in, again, I'm not a tax nerd, but I'm a retirement nerd. And yes, there are 70 million people in this country who have employer-based retirement plans, but there's another or more, and there may be 60 or 70 people that do not. They may or may not use a CPA to file their taxes. They may use software from one of the leading, you know, a Quicken or Intuit or something like that to file their taxes, to do it online. So they may not be aware, or probably not aware of this. And what they don't realize is that down the line, 20, 30 years from now, you're gonna run into some other problems, because they may not be putting money away towards their own retirement. You hope that they are, but the reality is maybe they're not earning enough. Maybe they've got other priorities, college spending or buying a home or whatever expense is important to them. This really is, in a way, I think, an overlooked issue.
I think it is a massive issue, and what we see in the data, particularly, we were able to update our data real time to consider the impact of COVID and what that means. And what we saw very interestingly was that we had done a terrible job in tracking and reliably measuring this population of workers. So that when Congress in March authorized a new unemployment insurance program specifically for gig workers, they projected or estimated that 5 million workers would take advantage of that new unemployment insurance program. by the last week of August, more than 15 million people did. What that tells you is that the federal government does not have reliable data to really measure how many people are doing this kind of work and what it means for retirement security. And to remedy that, what you need to think about is how can we get more information reporting? Because you're right. Most people, when it comes time to pay taxes, they gather up all their tax forms, input it into a software or go to a VITA site. I volunteer at a VITA site and I talk to low-income taxpayers all the time about, you know, these are their tax forms, just, you know, and they come to pay their taxes in many instances because they want the earned income tax credit, right? Like this is a really important source of income for them. And they're more than happy to pay taxes that they owe. But if they don't get a 1099, because the reality is they don't get a 1099 because in most instances, they tend to cycle in and out of doing gig work. They don't do it as a, you know, primary source of income and don't do it often enough to really track or remember how much income that they earn. So you're missing an opportunity to give them a 1099 to actually pay what little they can into the system when it comes tax time.
Well, this is certainly, I think this is a huge, huge issue. It's a generational issue. There's going to be lots of people. We talk about having people save for retirement and be able to retire with dignity. If you don't know what you need to do, you can't do that theoretically. And therefore, this has to be a big initiative. Caroline, we're going to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning. And we look forward to having you back again very soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that wraps up this episode of BRNAM. Have a topic of interest or someone you think we should talk to? Drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the news in retirement, markets, technology, personal finance, so much more, check out our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. So until tomorrow, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes.
Are you being audited and do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Is the IRS threatening to take more of your money? Don't fight the IRS alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you negotiate your tax bill and reduce your stress. The IRS can freeze your assets and seize your bank accounts, but you can stop these IRS actions. The Tax Doctor will work with you using our years of experience to represent your case to help you get the best resolution under the IRS guidelines. Help is here to deal with the IRS to reduce your stress. We've handled thousands of cases, so we know what we're doing. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, do not call the IRS alone. Call a Tax Doctor now for a tax emergency analysis.
Call 800-224-6439.